So for our first speaker, will be Sam. Yeah, thank you.
I'm going to quickly introduce you to a new course that me and three other people in particular developed. My name is Sam Colchester. I work for Humanitarian Open Stream App team, HOT. HOT has spent a long time and put a lot of effort into training people how to map on OpenStreetMap. But we to date have not done much around actually training people how to use OpenStreetMap data. So like the what next? But let's say you've generated some data in a region that's a priority for you. Today there hasn't been much information about actually like what the next best step is to take after you've generated that OpenStreetMap data. So a couple months ago we launched a new course, which is approximately 7 hours of online completely self-led training material. It's approximately 7 hours, but of the kind of 30 or 40 people who've already completed the course, it's taken them about 7 or 8 hours. So it's around that mark. It's focused on QGIS, and it's a free course, of course, it's I guess targeted at communities, individuals, organizations that intend to use more OpenStreetMap data in their work or in their volunteering efforts. So you can see the kind of course landing page on my screen here. If you just search on your search engine of choice for HOT course in OpenStreetMap data use, the first thing that's going to come up is this course. You do need to sign in, unfortunately. We'd like that not to be the case, but you do need to kind of create an account. Today, about 500 people have kind of signed up to contribute through this. Most of the people who have signed up to learn and have actually completed the course happen to be youth mappers, which is wonderful. But there are several people who've already completed the course that work for NGOs and are just independent volunteers that are really interested in seeing how OpenStreetMap data is used in a humanitarian context. So it contains like a range of case studies, real-world case studies. It includes several tools from organizations that HOT works closely with, including Heidelberg, HiGet. Open Route Service is included. Disaster Ninja is also in there. There's a whole section on assessing the level of completeness of OpenStreetMap and assessing the quality of OpenStreetMap. I would encourage you to share it with anyone you come across that's interested in using OpenStreetMap more or interested in getting an introduction to QGIS with a focus on OpenStreetMap data in a humanitarian or development context. Yeah, I think that's my 5 minutes up. Any questions, feel free to come to me afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. The next person would come in. Geoffrey, please.
Hi, everyone. Again, my name is Geoffrey Katerega. I work with HOT as the community projects lead. So I'm here to share with you about the HOT Open Summit. So for those of you who have been following HOT or are part of HOT, you may know that HOT always has what we call the HOT Summit, which is like the annual gathering for people interested in humanitarian mapping. And so from 2015 to 2019, we have that one gathering at different locations, always moving. sometimes alongside the alongside the set of the map. Conference would have it like alongside it, but it was happening in different locations. But from 2020-2021, it was COVID time, so the HOT Summit was always online. But from 2022, we kind of changed the format, and we have what we call the Open Summit. So what the Open Summit is really a program of global event collaborations that leverage experience, passion, connection to drive strong networks and the collective action across the humanitarian open mapping movement. So instead of having one event, which is the HOT Summit, which brings everyone in one place, what we are doing is to collaborate with different organizations and different communities who are already organizing open mapping events, and we collaborate and support them. So so far, this is the Open Summit in numbers. We have so far supported, from last year to this year, we have supported 27 events that have a reach of over 3,000 participants, 1,377 of those are women, and over 1,476 of them community members or same community members, and we have invested over 85K now, and you can see a wide range of events that we have collaborated with, and I know some of you are in this room that have collaborated with us on the Open Summit. So I just want to, if you have participated in any of these events, give me a shout. So State of the Map Nigeria, anyone who was at this event here? Yes, we have Victor there. Then the other event is Phosphor G and Set of the Map Oceania, which happened in 2023. We collaborated with Abrelatam and Condatos, like the Open Data Conference for Latin America. So the events we support are kind of in three categories. Some of them are small community events. We have also worked with conferences, for example, Set of the Map, but also third-party events, which are not traditionally open mapping conferences, but where we can support people to bring open mapping discussions to those kind of audiences where they wouldn't naturally occur. So the other event we worked with was the OSM Kelara Community Meetup, GIS Day Tanzania 2023, worked with Phosphor G Thailand and Set of the Map Asia. Yes, some people here. Pacific GIS and Remote Sensing Conference 2023, Pistang Mapa, yes. Set of the Map Africa 2023, anyone here who was at that conference? Yes. Phosphor G Asia 2023, Set of the Map Ethiopia 2023, and also the International Women's Day Nigeria 2024, worked with them as well. The Climate Justice Camp in the Caribbean, it also happened this year. And also we worked with the Open Knowledge Foundation, and we supported their Open Data Day events. So yeah, we supported over eight events across different parts of the world. You can see several youth mappers organized the events, MapTime Bogota, OSM Rwanda, GOSM Cameroon. So, these don't normally happen around March. We also worked with OMDTZ and they participated in the CBA conference, which was in Arusha, and had like workshops around open mapping with people who are doing climate-based adaptation discussions. So of recent, we have there was State of the Map Malawi, the very first one in Malawi, we are here. Also collaborating with State of the Map 2024. I'm glad to say that through the Open Summit, we have supported 27 people to participate in the conference from Uganda, from Tanzania, Kenya, Rwanda, and other parts of Africa. So we have more events coming up. These will be the last three for this year. State of the Map Latin America. There's also an event happening this month, which is Open Maps Sierra Leone, and we'll end with State of the Map Asia 2024. Thank you.
Thank you, Geoffrey. And our next presenter would be Priscilla. Yeah.
Hi, everyone. My name is Priscilla Kabolo. I'm from Malawi. I'm an active member of OpenStreetMap Malawi. So here today, I would like to introduce you and just give you a brief of activities that are happening in Malawi currently and some of the achievements that we have had so far. So Malawi was hit by Tropical Storm Anna and Cyclone Freddy in the southern part of Malawi. So we had funding to do a project whereby we wanted to assess area recovery for the communities to see how they can recover from the disasters that hit their areas. We also had a project where we were mapping Sanje, which is another district that was also affected by Cyclone Freddy in the same southern part of Malawi. We also had another project whereby we were mapping Neno, which is also another part of southern region of Malawi, where we are mapping the area for data completeness. So in Malawi, it's very hard to access spatial data. So the coming in of OpenStreetMap is really helping out in Malawi because we come together and contribute and make the spatial data available. We have also done other projects, just to mention a few, and we also mapped Murods in Blantyre, which is another city in Malawi, for health facility catchment areas. So this is just a picture of the project that we had in the HOT project manager. So for the youth mappers, we only have 7 chapters currently, but we're all geared up and ready to open more chapters in the universities that we have. We have more than 400 volunteer mappers in these chapters in Malawi, and we have an active OpenStreetMap community, which has more than 200 members, and these are researchers, youth mappers, industry leaders, and professionals. So one of the activities that we're currently doing as OpenStreetMap Malawi is we are having OCM monthly talks, and these are happening every Thursday of the month at 6 p.m. CAT. You can join us. We usually have members of the community to share how they're using GIS in different fields in the country. These are just highlights of some of the achievements that we have done so far in the youth mappers. So one of the chapter called Malawi University of Science and Technology chapter, they won the Digital Earth Africa and Youth Mappers Technical Challenge in 2022 after they did a project on deforestation mapping, climate change, and food security assessment in Dalanyama Forest Reserve. Another chapter that I was part of also won a project with Wild Bicycle Relief, where we used PGIS to collect data for the project that we're having with the World Bicycle Relief. This year, 2024, has been a very good year for Malawi. Four of our chapters won the Spatial People Awards, so we were able to have mapathons in 4 universities. Thank you very much to Spatial People Network. Just to mention, I think just to add on the awards as well, we also had more than 6 women who were awarded the Open Women Mapping Awards in 2024. So thank you very much to that. Okay, so just like I think almost each and every area or country, there's underrepresentation of women in the space of geospatial and leadership. So we had a Let Women Map campaign in Malawi where we wanted to encourage women to be participating in these activities. So these are just a few pictures showing some of the mapathons that we had. One of the labs here is the lab for African Drone and Data Academy at the Malawi University of Science and Technology, where we had the mapathon. But even though we did this, we still didn't have a lot of women participating, and that's a gap that we're willing to fill, and we're working towards it so that at least we can have a lot of women participating in these activities and taking more leadership positions. I think, as already Geoffrey highlighted, we had our first ever State of the Map conference this year in 2024. Okay, so here is just a picture showing the conference that we had. So the theme of the conference was reflecting on the growth of geospatial industry in Malawi and the path towards sustainable development. Some of the goals that we had was to enhance open data sharing and standardization across disciplines. Like I already highlighted that it's very hard to access data in Malawi. Like when I was in fourth year, I had difficulties to find data for me to just do a map for my study area. So this conference was a platform that provided us to just discuss and see how best we can move forward and be able to share data that should be available to everyone in the community. Another goal was to create a shared vision between geospatial advancement that is in line with Malawi Vision 2063 and the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. And lastly, we wanted to improve collaborations among practitioners, professionals, students, and local communities, which was a success because we did that. And the initiatives that are put in place right now, currently happening in Malawi. Some of the activities that we did, we had workshops, panel discussions, and some people were showcasing GIS-related innovations, geospatial research presentation, trainings, and also had a mapathon. We had over 200 participants, and unfortunately, only 74 of these participants were women, and we're looking forward to the next conference. We're going to have a lot of women. Well, we would like to thank HOT for funding us, British Council, and MOBUS, which is one of the universities in Malawi where we had our conference. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next presenter will be Priscovia.
Good afternoon, everyone. You look so serious. Smile for me, please. My name is Priscovia Ngambi. I'm from Zambia. I'm a records officer by profession. It's totally different from mapping. So let me just do a little of introduction. In 2022, a friend of mine by the name called Charles introduced me to mapping. And since that, yay, I fell in love with mapping, the community, and everything. Yes. So I'm here to talk about local knowledge mappers. This is the logo for local knowledge mappers based in Zambia. Okay, so we launched this organization last year, 2023, and our mission is to be strong localized open mapping app that provides spatial data and builds the mighty sustainable open source data in the community. The reason why we came up with this name is we noticed that we cannot do without the community. Okay. Our mission is to map and connect communities for sustainable development, and our motto is mapping with the community for the community. So our area of focus is environmental issues, sustainable development goals, and sustainable cities and urban planning. In the last few months, we've managed to create projects and train people across Zambia in mapping how to collect data and how to validate. I would also like to thank you, to thank the Open Mapping Development Tanzania. Thank you so much for financial help that you've been lending to our organization. And also TomTom Aza, thank you so much. Okay, so this year, Zambia has been hit with drought. And we're also facing load shedding. As local knowledge mappers, we trained people on how to collect data across the country concerning the load shedding and also drought. Furthermore, we've also managed to train people on how to add health facilities in Zambia. And this year, we managed to train more than 30 mappers across the country, Zambia, and our future plan is to make sure that we work with international partners like TomTom, Ott, Microsoft, Metadata, and Joy Fabric. Thank you so much. If you want to know more about this organization, please feel free to follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you, Priscovia. Our next presenter will be Michael Kaluba.
My name is Michael Kaluba, and I work with OpenStreetMap Uganda as the Field Mapping and GIS Training Associate. So I'm here to talk about QField and how we've used it to run field mapping and on different projects. QField is a powerful tool that was developed by OpenGIS, launched in 2019, but we started using it more on projects last year at the end, and we've been using it for different projects this year. It supports a lot of data types, like shapefiles. It can support geopackages, and unlike other traditional data collection tools, QField stands out to be very dynamic and offering advanced geospatial data collection editing capabilities, which is not the focus of some of the mobile data collection tools. And the beauty here is that depending on the need of the project, you can need to run it offline. You can collect data and then pick it from the devices directly. And there is a direct communication between it and QGIS once you install a plugin called QGIS Sync. Yeah, these are some of the functionalities. It supports offline data collection. As I mentioned, depending on the need, you can be able to synchronize your data or your app and collect data offline, pick it from the devices, and then you can do further editing as need be. Unlike other data collection tools, QField doesn't require so much data cleaning after data has been collected. You can customize the forms, and so that you don't do any data cleaning, you get only the data you need from the field, and you data will be ready to use at the end of the day. Yeah, so I mentioned about this. It also supports attachment of files. You can choose to attach documents, like for example, if I may speak about the user cases we've done. We did some building, we call it building attributes mapping, where we got a shapefile of building footprints, and then we had to map additional attributes to those building footprints. And then another user case is there's a project we are running which involves mapping of land parcels. People map the land parcels, and it is in a way that we are mapping to be able to issue land titles to the landowners, and you're able to attach other external applications to QField. For example, if you want maybe to pick fingerprints from in the field, you can connect QField to open up those applications and you pick that kind of information externally. Yeah, so this is how it works. You basically need to package your project. You can choose if you are to do offline, then you have to have an orthophoto of the place you want mapped, and then you can upload it run it offline, and then you'll have all your data being synchronized directly within the cloud. If you don't need maybe to upload data to the cloud, then you can choose to pick data directly from the devices, and it supports a lot of team collaborations. For more details, you can check on the documentation down there, and that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Our last presenter will be Bukola.
My name is Babalola Olva Bukola, and a Youth Mappers Regional Ambassador from Nigeria. I studied meteorology and climate science in the university. Now I'm a graduate. I would say that, while my slide comes up, I would say that Youth Mappers has changed my life. It has charted the course of my career, and I can really think of what I would have been, what I would have been doing now with my life if I did not take that bold step to join the Youth Mappers in 2020. And thanks to my friend Victor, these guys have been like a very good friend to me. You know, as a lady, you don't, the stereotype is ladies do not really do stuff like this. They would rather sell clothes and do that, especially when you're from Nigeria. And so it's kind of different to be in this field. And I'm happy that I'm really here. I'm doing climate science, and I've seen a lot of possibilities with climate science and GIS, the whole geospatial world, and I'm so grateful for that. All right. Thank you. Okay, so according to the past world records, when you look at the climate records of the world, you would see that this year has been breaking a lot of records. In January, it was said that January 2024 was the hottest January in record. Now, that was scary. Then I saw February, same record. February was the hottest. March was the hottest. And April. So this means that we have to pay attention to this data. We have to talk to ourselves. We have to look at it. How do we become a solution and not just passing time here on Earth? And so I've been able to see a lot of connectivity between GIS, making maps, the data from the satellite data and all that. I've been able to see the importance of these things. They are so valuable in climate data analysis. And this is a very sad image. I've held this image close to my heart for a very long time. It tells the story of our planet. Our beautiful planet being engulfed by a blanket, which represents global warming. And we see the planet has eyes and a sad face, and it's sweating. It just tells a story that it's getting hotter and hotter by the day. And when you look at the background, you see like burning picture, like the red and yellow background and all that. So it tells a story of the heat. If you're living in maybe Europe, you might not experience so much heat like me that live in Nigeria. On a normal day now, we get 42 degrees Celsius. Now that's very hot. So this is me, like I said earlier. And recently, I graduated from the university, and I did my thesis on assessing the impact of heat stress in livestock production in Nigeria. And I made use of geospatial data for my analysis. And then there's also Youth Mappers. When we talk about fighting against climate crisis, Youth Mappers have had their seats in the front rows. And last year, we had a project called the Heat and Health Mapping in Nigeria. Like you see there, it was sponsored by the USAID. Youth Mappers students went around the communities to map health centers, and this will help improve access to health. And there were a lot of other field works that was done. And yes, finally, this is, I believe this should be somewhere in our living rooms where we look at it every day and tell ourselves, how can I contribute to the SDGs? How can I be a part of this? We're all from different fields. I'm a meteorologist. Someone there is a geospatial engineer. We have doctors and all that. We should all look at how we can contribute to this, the sustainable development goals. And sadly, this is 2024. This is meant to run for 30 years. The next 6 years is our deadline. That's 2030. And we only have 6 years. Trust me, we both know that for some of these goals, we are far behind. We are not really making a headway. So I'll call on to everyone here today. I know we have been working in different spaces, in different career space and all that, but can we pay more attention to finding solutions to these problems? Can you just, you don't have to do everything. It's 17. Even if it's just one, just pay attention to it. And in whatever space you are, you can always do something with the SDG goals. And I have these final words for us all. We all have a duty to make sure our children don't have to suffer from the effects of both the actions we took and the ones we didn't. And also, there's a Native American proverb that says that we do not inherit the earth from our ancestors. We borrow it from our children. Thank you.
Thank you, Bukola. Thank you, Bukola. At this point, I think it's time for lunch. So if you have any questions, please meet them at lunch time and ask them. So bon appetit. See you in the next session. Thank you.